This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Roll into hour number two, Barton Hahn, presented by Progressive Insurance. And Bart.
The sour owl.
Why is it sour? I mean, I'm reading the tweets, though, for some people from around the country. I'm feeling really bad. I mean, it's like, you reach a lot of people. It's been fun. So it's good to read that stuff. And we appreciate all that stuff. Here's a question for you. You know the whole, you know, you can't go home again?
Uh-huh.
Can Tom Brady ever go back to New England? Can be a free agent?
Of course he can.
He can.
If Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez get back together, true love exists. She went with A-Rod.
Yeah.
P-Rod.
Yeah.
K-Rod. What's the little dancing, singing dude? Mark Anthony.
Yeah.
She had a backup dancer.
Mm-hmm.
About six bodies in between Ben Affleck. If she can go home.
But I thought didn't Ben get back with.
They both came back.
Yeah, that's right.
He had some bodies too.
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes you have to just go out and just kind of see the world, figure it out.
You want me to say it? If you love something, let it go. If it comes back, it's yours. If it doesn't, it never was.
That's
you know what I'm saying? I should be on Death Poets, son.
That was pretty good. Actually, it was Sting that said, if you love somebody, set them free.
I was reading an actual poem.
I know you were. But
my
mom
used to have that inside of her curio cabinet.
Really?
Yeah. It was on a plate with a bird.
On a plate with the bird symbolizes setting something free.
It wasn't a dinner plate. It was like one of those fire blasted things. You know what I'm saying?
Or
disrespect my mama on TV.
I don't know why.
It's a real place. She ain't just paint some words on the plate.
No, those are you know, works of art.
Yes.
And it has the inspired sayings on it. Mm-hmm. That apparently as you get an adult, you become an adult and you get a grown up, you have to put sayings in your house on the wall. Like you need to be told.
To remind you not to say,
live, laugh, love. Do you need a
kids.
Sign that tells you to live, laugh, and love? Like you got to remind
because sometimes
yourself.
You forget. Because these kids get on your nerves, huh? Like they're different.
I need a sign that just says like breathe in, then breathe out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right.
Can't that's a song. That. Breathe in,
breathe out, breathe in.
To the monastery, let it all hang out. Okay, let's get back
all right,
to
let's get back
point.
To the point we're trying to make here, which is, and there was a report in The Athletic about it, too, that said that Tom Brady, you know, has a decision to make in 2023, and don't rule out the fact that he could go back to the Patriots. And one of his former teammates, Matt Light, said this as well about Brady's return.
Listen, I wouldn't put anything past him. I mean, the guy wants to win, and he knows how to do it with a guy like Belichick, right? I think he's seen, you know, the differences now. I mean, he only played for Bill, and then he goes down to Tampa, and he's had a couple head coaches down there now, and he could conceivably come back and want to be with a proven winner. That would not shock me at all.
Interesting, damn, what are you saying about Todd Bowles? They ain't a proven winner. He won. Well, he won. His winning percentage might be better with not anymore.
No.
This year and last year was.
No, I mean, with Bruce Arians, they had success. With Todd, they have not had the same success. But Tom's also been through a lot this year. It's just a very interesting take when you consider that they do have Mac Jones, who they took 15th overall.
It don't matter. We bench him for Zappy.
Yeah, but still, he had a good rookie season. Mike Reese has been covering the Patriots forever. He was on KJM, and he talked about how the Pats are still very much all in on Mac Jones.
I look at this big picture. Last year, Mac Jones had a great rookie season. Everyone I talk to around here says, we saw what he can do last year. They look at him this year and say, he didn't all of a sudden become a bad quarterback. Like, you got to look at the factors around him. That's what the people that are a lot smarter than me tell me. A change in offensive system, a new coaching staff. All those factors contribute to what we've seen. And I have a story up on ESPN.com right now. Matt Hasselbeck, Kurt Warner, a Pro Football Hall of Fame quarterback. They share what they see. They've played the position. And guys, what they see is a system that's not bringing out the best in Mac Jones. And to me, those are credible, informed opinions that you have to give some weight to.
Now, these are all, you know, of course, you give weight to them. But, Bart, I mean, we all know in the end, if Tom Brady calls Robert Kraft and said, I want to come back because I'm not dragging a whole family with
I'm
me this time.
Home. I'm all in.
Right? Like, it's just me. He's 45, but if Robert Kraft wants Tom Brady back, Tom Brady's coming back. Mac Jones or no Mac Jones, right? Like, wouldn't you say, like, that's.
You still got Mac Jones under contract for the next 3 years. Like, you say, listen, Mac and
what
Cheese.
What a perfect guy to learn from.
Learn from the GOAT.
Thank you.
The GOAT.
Yeah.
Learn from the GOAT.
Yeah, that's. I mean, what better scenario would it be than that? And then, oh, by the way, you don't have an offensive coordinator. You think Tom Brady actually needs that? You think he really needs like a guy who's
he's like
and Josh McDaniels might not last too much longer.
He's like Patricia, kick rocks, go over to the defense.
Joe Judge.
We don't need you.
Yeah,
here.
Joe Judge.
Hey, Joe, go get me some.
Why
coffee.
Don't you work with Mac Jones?
Go get me some coffee.
You know, like honestly, like but all kidding aside though, if Robert Kraft wants this. And
if Tom wants,
they have a relationship. Yeah, of course, if Tom wants it too, they have a relationship. Now, the one thing that I think would keep Tom from leaving Tampa is the fact that his kids are literally across the street.
He didn't ask for them kids to be across the street. That's some stalker stuff right there, son. That's some Kanye. That's some Kanye, bro.
You know he'd want to be near them.
But still, bro, that's some Kanye and Kim Kardashian stuff. You don't divorce me and then move across the street, bro, so you can look at me and see everything I'm doing. Me and Ben got parties to have. We put the band back together,
baby. Why
is
it always
Ben? Ben was who we got.
Damon was with him, too, though. They hung out a lot.
Well,
Matt Damon keeps it clean, though.
Well, I wanted to be in the movie, so I didn't want to piss off. I can piss off Ben. I didn't want to piss off Matt Damon.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Thanks a lot for including.
If you want the Can't Wait movie to happen, it has to happen in New England. And who better to make movies in New England than Matt Damon?
My point.
Right.
I saw what Ben Affleck
did. You like apples?
I saw what Ben Affleck did.
I said, can't wait. How do you like them apples?
Yeah, see, Ben Affleck destroyed the DC series. That was the worst Superman I've ever seen in my life. I don't want him to do my movie. I want Matt Damon to do my damn movie.
That's not entirely true, but okay. But no.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Back to the point, though.
Yeah, you're right.
So can you see it or no? Like, if I'm going to get – on the 1 to 10 scale we always like to use.
Seven?
1 to 10 chance – 7.
I can give it a 7.
So 70% chance.
If he wants to play, he might – but the problem is – he's going to say, you know what? I need you to trade for Mike Evans. He's going to bring some people with him. He ain't going to play with no damn Kevin Bourne.
Once again, you're Robert Kraft. You're how old?
A man of a certain age.
Yeah, a certain age. And you have a chance to win another Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Are you not saying, let's go?
Then
you're Bill Belichick.
You get to put it in Bill's.
You are of a certain age as well.
But you get to put it in Bill's face, though. Like, yeah, you needed me, huh? Yeah, I went out of 1-1 without you. Almost went to another one. But then, you know, I'll come back, help you out, Bill. I'll help your little legacy. You cool? You cool? Yeah, you sit in the corner, shut up while I do my business.
Yeah, you handle the defense.
Yeah,
I got
this. Yeah, yeah. You go around and do my business.
Imagine that, being the first quarterback.
I'm Tree Rollins. I'm a head coach / player.
Yeah, right? Like Bill
Tree
Russell.
Tree Rollins.
Bill Russell did.
I like
that.
Tree Rollins because nobody knows Tree Rollins.
But Bill Russell won a championship as a player coach in Boston.
But nobody was over 6'8".
Yeah, that's good. But I just think it's a fascinating story now that this is out and now that Matt Light said what he said, it's sort of like, all right, we're going to now make this a thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I imagine we make this a thing that, just like Aaron Rodgers last year, like all the other stuff, this will now be a story that Mike Reese is going to have to report on, even though he keeps just shooting it down. Like, this is ridiculous, but it's not ridiculous because of the relationships that still exist.
Yeah.
And maybe this sense of unfinished business, or you see what's going on in Tampa. Like, is that kind of like
Sam, we're
on the decline?
I mean, the talent's there, but I don't know. They're not playing at the right level. And eventually, I think Carolina, Atlanta,
you always
New Orleans is going to figure it out.
And I think these guys that like are at the level of a Tom Brady, you're maniacal like Tom Brady is. I think you get inspired by going somewhere where they're hungry to win.
Well, people that's like-minded.
But they're also hungry to win. Mm-hmm. And they all are like, yeah, let's get it. Because that makes you feel younger. That, you know, invigorates you. I really feel like Tampa has become we won a championship, we're cool. And I don't think
they've done that before, right? When they won the championship under John Gruden, then they just fell off.
Yep,
the face of the earth. They're like, hey, we'll build up to win every once in a while.
We'll live off this championship for a while.
Tom Brady goes back. He go against the New Jets, the Dolphins, and he go against the
Bills.
The Bills. He's like, woo, damn.
It's not the division I thought it was.
Woo, he boy fast. Yo, man, I'm going to go down there and go against Taysom Hill and Sam Darnold.
Nah, it's
too much smoke up here.
Right.
Damn.
And Sam Darnold.
Like, wait.
It's interesting. Let's bring in a former Patriot for more on this Brady stuff and see if they really are starting to believe that maybe TB12
Tim
can
was
come
a Patriot
back.
Too?
To what? No, Tim's later.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, coming up next, though, we got a, like I said, we get a former Patriot who certainly might know a thing or two about how they're feeling up in New England. And more, of course, about the Bills and Patriots game tonight. Week 13 of the NFL begins. December football, everybody. It's Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Easy to bundle your home and car insurance at progressive.com. Apropos song, let's see if maybe they play this as Tom Brady goes under center next year. We'll see. It's amazing we just keep talking about Tom Brady and next year when he's 45 years old. But
and he said he only wanted to play to 45. Let's see if he's a man of his word.
And now maybe he'll get to 50. We shall see. Well, what else he got to do?
He got a job for $300 million in the booth.
How much do you like talking about football rather than playing it? Honestly.
Well, Tom Brady got
a job. I didn't ask you about Tom Brady. How much do you like talking about other people playing football versus yourself playing football?
Of course I like playing football better.
All right.
But I also like waking up on Monday and not having my arms stick
my
to
neck,
the sheets.
My back. My
arms stick to the sheets because I got some strawberries on me that's been leaking and been melting into my sheets all night.
You know, somebody that can relate to that is probably Matt Chatham, who joins us right now, the former Patriots linebacker, three-time Super Bowl champ as well. And Matt, I'll ask you the same question because I know you talk a lot of football. How much do you like to talk about football versus playing football?
I think Bart hit on the important point. Rate matters. Like the $300 million deal or whatever to get to talk about it, that changes how much you like stuff. And I'm in the same boat as Bart as far as I love waking up now, not sore. I squeeze in this call in between physical therapy sessions on my neck. So the idea of playing again to me sounds ridiculous. And Tommy and I are like a couple months apart. So no thank you.
Did you That's not amazing. Subscribe to the avocado ice cream? Is that the reason why your neck hurts?
Yeah, right. I'm not a savory ice cream guy, man. Ice cream's supposed to have sugar and it's supposed to be sweet. So no thank you.
Totally understandable. All right, but with that, though, this is just starting to become a thing, and this is the embryonic stages of it, but you know how it happens in the media. This will become a full-fledged story at some point, if not before the end of the season, definitely in the offseason. The idea of Tom Brady as a free agent and the option of going back to New England, you know, we had Matt Light saying that he could see it happening. What do you think?
These are the kind of conversations to me that make more sense, say, if we were in that sort of Cam year and they had the young guy from Auburn also, and they're sort of like, okay, we've got an older guy in here that probably isn't going to be here 3, 4, 5 years from now, and a young guy that might not be the answer that was a mild draft pick. Hey, maybe Tommy comes back and does a sunset year or two. I mean, that makes sense to me if we were in that year. But we're in, you know, 15 months into a first-round draft pick's contract who's looked pretty good other than, you know, a couple of games here pre and post injury. So to me, it just doesn't make sense, probably for either side. I mean, Tommy's down in Florida, comfortable. If he does decide to play more games, the notion of coming back up here seems a little odd and off. But, I mean, you know, you learn not to be surprised about anything, but I don't think it makes a ton of sense right now.
Yeah, old people usually retire and go down to Florida, not retire and come up to Boston or that area. So
right,
you know,
right.
It's not good for the bones.
Well,
you need heat for your
bones,
man.
There are some old people who retire to Florida, realize it's too slow for them, and want to come back because they just like the action, the hustle, bustle, be around people.
So New England's fast.
Play in the NFL, yeah. They'll
do that.
I'm trying, Matt. Make your story.
I guess what I want to ask you, how sure are you guys or confident that Matt Jones is the next one in line? Like, because we know that, you know, he's played well, he took you to the playoffs, but it seems like this division may be catching up in certain instances past the Patriots. And the advantage for you guys for years was the fact that you guys had the best quarterback, so it didn't matter how good the rest of the roster was. You had the most important position. And now you can make the argument that, you know, at best, you have the third best quarterback in the division.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a today snapshot, but I don't think they make those decisions in that regard. I actually think this division is always kind of quirky, obviously, and is in a weird place relative to a lot of the other divisions around the – you know, it's literally across the top all first-round draft picks. I mean, these are all in relatively lowish type guys. And a couple of the situations I think are instructive relative to the Patriots one. I know Josh Allen is sort of the outlier and kind of a weirdo because he can throw the ball 80 yards and all that stuff and just has that big physical body. But Josh, in the sort of 15, 16-month range that Mac's in right now, did not look like he does now. And I think it's much the same way with Tua. I mean, think of how many people were down on him, you know, 12 months ago at this point. They're just not sure about him, right? So I just think these things have to take time, and especially with the Patriots sort of taking on a little different scheme situation, and then adding coaches up front that are you know, new to them, and they're growing to those roles. You're sort of in growth stage. So I just don't think you make those kind of determinations. Last week's a good example. You know, he's the worst quarterback ever 2 weeks ago, and then last week, over 400 yards of offense, he looked great. So I think you just let it breathe.
Matt Chatham joining us right now on the show, the Patriots linebacker, a former Patriots linebacker, three-time Super Bowl champ as well. And we start week 13 now, and I ask all the football guys around here the same question I'll ask you as well, because I'd love to get your reaction, is when I say December football, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
I love it. I loved it up here, you know, both in New York and in New England, because you have an advantage, especially, you know, I'm sure Bart remembers this. If you happen to catch the Dolphins, you know, second, third, fourth week of December, it was the greatest thing ever. They didn't want to play. You know, they didn't want to be out there, and I don't blame them. You know, if you have to practice in 75 and 80 every day, and then they throw you out on the field in 10 or 20, it sucks. You know, they don't want to go to the ground for tackles. You don't want to take a block to the ground. It's kind of popping, you know, sort of stand on the sideline by the heat blowers and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I knew guys from Miami that played in Miami over the years, and they straight up say it, like, no, I don't want to play that game. You know, it's the thing that you look at when the schedule gets issued early in the season. I don't want that game. And it's kind of the same way, though, in New England. I mean, I never wanted to have to go to South Beach for week one. You know, that sucked, because it's pretty mild up here, and then you go down there and it's the humidity is outrageous, and you're gonna die in the field kind of thing. So yeah, it's a super advantage. I like this because you've kind of get a slow build towards the cold. It's not like, you know, you practice in September at 80 and all of a sudden becomes 20. You kind of chip off a little week after week and you get used to it, and you know usually your opponents aren't.
And how about then for Thursday's game? So tonight's game, I should say, it's you have to what a way to start off December football, Bills Patriots. I mean, AFC East, which you know very well, playing for both the Patriots and the Jets, you understand, like, you know, what this division is about. So you get these two teams starting off December football, and the importance. I mean, the Patriots basically playing for their, you know, their playoff lives right now, and Buffalo still trying to get right after the first couple of months of the season where you thought they were one of the best teams in the AFC.
Yeah, so it's a weird sort of timing that these guys are hitting one another. Just on the weather issue though for tonight, you know, I'm sitting here in my office at home, and today's garbage day, recycling, all that stuff. And we've got, I've got two big bins out in front of the house, and they keep blowing, you know, like down the street. We've got like 25 mile an hour, 30 mile an hour wind today, which is kind of goofy. It's not quite as dramatic as it was that weird Buffalo game last year, but it's going to be a factor, and that's odd. No precipitation, but it's going to be windy as hell tonight. The one thing, though, that's a little odd to me about, you know, how this times out, Buffalo looked like slam dunk, one of the best teams in the NFL, you know, obviously for about 2 months of what we've seen so far, but the last four has been a little bit of you know, and that kind of makes you give pause. It's not as if the Patriots come in here absolutely smoking, but I think a decent example is because they've had a lot of similar opponents. You know, the Bills recently have had both Detroit and Cleveland. They're plus 11 against those teams, and the Patriots played the same team that blew both those teams out, one of them by 30, the other by whatever it was. It was like plus 52. So, you know, and the Bills had trouble with the Jets. The Patriots swept the Jets. So it's in that kind of comp, however much stock you put in those kinds of things, it's enough to give you make a, you know, sort of pause and say, okay, this might be a game. But then I think the thing that's in the back of mind a lot of Patriots fans is that playoff matchup and how badly New England got smoked. So you kind of don't know what you're going to get. So I think that makes it intriguing and fun. Both teams need to, you know, Bills need to kind of get back on track. And yeah, Patriots are sort of right on that cusp of being a qualifier. But they're also, what is it, two games from first? The AFC East is, yeah, you know, separated top to bottom by two games with six or whatever to go. So there's still a lot of football to play. But it's just a fun, very important game on a Thursday night.
So in your heart of hearts, do you think the Patriots make the playoffs? And if they don't make the playoffs, what do you think is the ramifications in the offseason? Because they don't have great weapons on the outside. Bills tried to draft N'Keal Harry. He's tried to address the number one receiver spot. He's done a good job in getting in some good tight ends, and, you know, Stevenson is a good running back. But what's the ramifications, or what's the implications that are going to have to take place if they fall short? Because it looks like they're going in the wrong direction if they don't make the postseason.
So they've kind of had two real good draft runs here, but I think they are in the situation. Like, young guy Tyquan Thornton from you know, one of the fastest guys in the draft, absolute speedster from Baylor. He flashes in a couple plays early in the season, then he's out. So we haven't seen a ton of him. He's kind of their, okay, they've got some on-field, downfield speed, all that speed, all that stuff that people get excited about. But he's had a small role. I mean, you bring a veteran like Devontae Parker onto the team, add him into the mix with Jacoby Myers, and just guys are more experienced and a part of this. And it's tough for a young guy like that to work his way up the depth chart. So he's kind of that could be your game-changer type, but not with a great role right now as a rookie. They've remade the offensive line. I think that's probably one of the biggest questions going forward, where they sit. And I highlighted this to a lot of the Patriots fans this morning where, you know, there's all this talk about Mac and the offense and all that kind of stuff. I think to me the biggest difference, I don't know how you felt about stuff like this, Bart, but if an offense, you know, that I was used to facing used to be a top 10 running offense, and all of a sudden they're bottomly. Like last year, I think New England was something like 8. You know, they're up there in the top 10. Good ground game. Really, you know, they could convert asituationally, I'd call it. But this year they're bottom 10, and I think that's really the biggest change. They haven't run the ball consistently week in, week out. When you kind of take that off, you know, okay, I can sit. I can get in my trap. I don't have to be running in the line kind of stuff. I think that's a good big key. So I think for them, where are they going to be in the future of the O-line? Because it's some older players and some brand-new players and new contracts that would have to be reconsidered, tackle spots, guard spots, all that. So that tells you a lot about, I think, where a team's going. I mean, we can look down to Tampa for that right now. Remade offensive line, not quite exactly the same as they were a year ago.
Yeah, and the turnover is always something that you have to watch with a team. The consistency is the most important part to any type of success. Hey, Matt, before we let you go, though, I got to ask you about a website that I know you're part of. The new business for you, rubsmokelove.com. What is this about?
So, yeah, it's 12 years at Nesson, about 12-ish, and that was up this spring, and I've always sort of wanted to start this barbecue company, something I've been into for a long time, and it's just, it's fun for me to get back into food marketing and product manufacturing, and yeah, I've got a barbecue rub company, one called Beefcake, another one called Gold Bark, and it's been awesome. Your timing's not great, guys. If we could just be a day later, unfortunately, the game's tonight, but we're in a major retailer, grocery retailer, we'll be on shelves. I cannot say the name on the air right now because it's not there.
Oh, a day early.
There's a few thousand bottles of my stuff that just got dropped off at the distribution center early this week, but they won't be on the shelves till end of week. So I can't yell it out on the air.
Here's what you do.
Let us know tomorrow. We'll shout it out.
For sure. Give us a heads up, and we'll make sure tomorrow we shout it out. We put it out on social and everything else because that sounds like a pretty big deal.
So good to make you want to smack your mama?
Yeah, is it that good?
Absolutely better.
Smack. Come here, Grandma.
Grandma,
bring your ass over.
Not just Mom. Grandma, too. Everybody's getting some. Hey, Matt, great to catch up with you, my man. Thanks so much, and all the best, and good luck with the new endeavor.
All right, guys. Thanks. Take care.
Matt Chatham, again, former Patriots linebacker, 3-time Super Bowl champ. Did have a couple of years with the Jets as well. Knows the AFC East really well. Coming up, who knows quarterbacks better than Tim Hasselbeck? He's going to join us.
Timmy.
A lot of questions to discuss with him. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The reality is the guy is not far from being an MVP. Like, I don't understand why we're trying to run him out of the building.
You know what?
Can the Packers win a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback next year?
Maybe.
Can they with Jordan Love? Nope.
Maybe in a couple of years. It's about the long game. Like, you don't even know if Aaron Rodgers wants to play anymore.
That's the key.
Is he walking away from $60 million?
That's the trick to me, right? Like, and he's talking about this.
He's not walking away from.
He can walk in one of these TV gigs and get $300 million.
Oh, yes.
I don't hear anything.
Bart on Get Up. You don't hear anything now?
I think I just blew out my eardrum.
Oh, boy.
First, I unplugged my wrong mic, and then now I think I hit my – when I was moving over, making room, I think I turned turned it all the way up to the top. I can't hear anything.
You don't hear a thing.
What?
Sounds like he's trying to avoid –
He's definitely trying to avoid the debate that went on there. It's Bart and Hahn presented by Progressive Insurance. Coming to you live from Seaport, brought to you by – Grey Goose, Tim Hasselbeck joining us here in the studio.
Timmy.
And Bart and Tim were together in the studio and Get Up just a few steps down the hallway here this morning. And that exchange that you heard was part of the show today. And I just wonder if there's anything more that you need to add to get the last word in, Tim.
I mean, I don't know why Bart wants to like run off good players. You know, like guy has a bad year, and so now all of a sudden it's like, hey, let's find out if this guy, we don't know if he can play at all. Let's find out if he can play in six games, and then decide if we're gonna like run off this guy who was the MVP last year, so that we can play a guy that we don't even know if he's any good or not. And by the way, pay him $20 million.
And pay him to go away.
Yeah. And then pay the replacement $20 million a year. And then, by the way, probably have to sign him to like a long-term starter deal if it works out.
So it's bad business, I think, is what Tim's saying.
Well, to quote the great Batman.
Which one?
Not the Ben Affleck one, because he destroyed DC Comics with that crap he did. You either die the hero or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Okay.
And now, just in short order, maybe A-Aaron can start becoming the villain because he's the guy that ran off Davante Adams. He's the guy that has held this organization up hostage. And listen, when you win two back-to-back MVPs and they thought you were done and you put that big old chip back on your shoulder, you have the right to go about business the way you want to. So I'm not faulting A-Aaron. I'm faulting the organization for not having a cohesive plan about moving forward. Because if A-Aaron is going to continue to be your quarterback, then why the hell did you spend a first-round draft pick getting a quarterback? That should have been Ja'Marr Chase. That should have been Justin Jefferson. That should have been another dynamic player. So now you just wasted a first-round draft pick. Guess what? It didn't cost you just a first-round draft pick. You gave up other draft equity to move up. And what I'm saying is, if A-Aaron can't commit to me, look me in the eyes and say, I'm not going to hold you guys hostage. For the next 2 years, I will be here. I will say, listen, A-Aaron, if that's the case, then we have to play Jordan Love so we can trade him and get a fourth-round draft pick to maybe get you a backup guard. Maybe get a great punter. But we got to do something. The kid got to play regardless, because if we ain't going to play him, then we got to get him up out of here. And maybe we can hold somebody and maybe get a second or fourth round draft pick if he looks like he's the real deal.
All right, Tim. Now,
what if he plays poorly?
Then you cut him.
But at least you know. See, I almost feel like the point he's making there is one that I agree with, just on the level of the season's going nowhere.
Yeah.
And you have a young quarterback that you have to make a decision on, that you don't really still know what he can do in live action, and you kind of want to see it not just in a fourth quarter, but just put him in the QB1 and let's see how he handles the week and how does and then if he sucks, all right, good, we move on. And if he's got something, then like Bart said, you can consider say, all right, well, now maybe we can
Jimmy
get something
G.
for
Look
him.
Take out for Jimmy G. They made the mistake with Brady.
So with that in mind, and again, for Aaron Rodgers, do we need – I'm letting that go.
Okay.
Because we'll get off track. Because in the case with Aaron Rodgers is he's already got a lot of miles. Why wouldn't I have just put it in the garage and let him be healthy for next year?
Because I think here's why you don't do it is, one, that – and I'm assuming this is the case in some ways in basketball as well. But, like, the reality is, like, some guys earn the right to be like, yeah, I'm playing. Like, I'm healthy enough to play, I'm playing.
True.
And, like, it's just, like, you want to look at it and be like, yeah, I know, but here's what we're going to do. We're going to plan for the future. And he's like, no, man, you know what? Like, multiple broken collarbones, a Super Bowl to this organization, playing through the things that I've played through. Mm-hmm. Like, no, like, I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that we experienced all the success was because this, like, kind of attitude that I have played with, this willingness to like push to the limit and be great and make everyone else great, like that's part of our success. So like, don't just like brush it off like, hey, we're getting the next guy ready like while I'm still in the building.
Load management. Yeah, you're gonna just sit
out
willingly.
Like, I brought up this example the other day. Like, I was in Washington and Bruce Smith was there, and like Bruce Smith was really just chasing a sack
record
at that point. And I think they probably wanted to play Reagan Upshaw instead, and it was like, no, like, I'm starting and I'm getting the record. Mm-hmm. And honestly, everybody in the locker room was like, yeah, he kind of earned the right.
Yeah.
But that was to make money, though.
Huh?
That was to make money for the organization. That's going to something.
I don't think I was making money for the organization. I just think that, like, there are some guys that earn the right to be like, listen, man, like, you don't decide when I'm coming off the field. Like, and I'm not saying that like, helps you in the future. But, like, I do think what happens is if the locker room and players that could be great there see a team do that to an all-time great – I think it rubs them the wrong way. Mm-hmm. And I think it is Like it, I get that. It creates less loyalty.
I get that.
He gave you $150 million.
Hey, and listen. And look, I get it. But I also think this, too. You know, the Bruce Smith example is very different than Aaron. Aaron was the MVP last year.
Yeah.
Like, quarterbacks that are great don't, like, all of a sudden go from being unbelievable to being horrible the next year. Like, it just doesn't happen in the position.
Well, Peyton.
Huh? Well, listen, I mean, think about
He got hurt,
like,
though.
Peyton, like, he lost so much physically.
Yeah.
But he still was able to go, look, talk about Ray. I mean, think about Ray Lewis. Like, he was, at one point, was not as fast, not as explosive, all that. But, like, through all the experience and wisdom and everything else
smart.
And tricks, like, still was better than other guys that would be playing. So I think part of what happens is, like, for Aaron, like, you're going to be better. You have a chance to be better next year for sure with Aaron Rodgers as the quarterback. And I think if you look at the NFC, is there a chance they could win the Super Bowl next year with Aaron?
Maybe.
I think there is.
They go out and, like you said, go get T. Higgins, go get him some real help.
They win a Super Bowl. So, like, my thing is, like, why are we looking at, like, 5 years from now with Jordan Love?
But if you can win a Super Bowl, why risk him with the weak ribs for somebody to go break one?
Because and you said this, because it's not their decision, and Aaron doesn't want to let him play. Like, but, I mean, that's what it is.
It's twofold, right, right.
So do you go to Aaron and say, hey, we're going to play this dude to trade him. Let's pump him up. Let's get some help for you this year.
Well, he's supposed to be part of the decision-making process at this point anyway.
That right there, Bart, is when Aaron was talking about, I'm willing to approach this with kind of an open mind. Hey, when he said that, I think what he was saying was, if they're playing him so that we can get a third rather than a fourth for him, I'll have an open mind
This was a fascinating discussion on Get Up, and it's even more fascinating. It just brings you inside of, like, what's really being thought about with these decisions and obviously these choices that a player makes and earns the right to make for himself in these situations. Tim, it's great to see you. Thanks for
Dipping into the studio. Thanks for making room for me in here.
Yeah, no, this is great. Always getting a third guy into the studio. Always fun. Tim Hasbeck, ESPN NFL analyst.
What, anyone ever tell you look like Ray Liotta?
Is that what we're doing?
The suit jacket would look good from Goodfellas.
So those are wondering. So Hasbeck walks in.
Been following me all the
Bart's got pictures of himself. He's tackling people without a
helmet on.
He's got Tom Brady writing the numbers. And then there's a picture of me.
In a photo shoot.
It's an auction or something like that. So bizarre. So athletic of me, isn't it? Yes. That's what we do here. All right. Coming up, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We have more of your call and also a beef involving one of Bart's favorite quarterbacks. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
It's Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. Bowl season's looming, Bart Scott. You know that, right?
We going bowling?
No, bowl season.
Yeah, I said we going bowling. I just saw that the Rose Bowl just made it easier for, you know, it can be an expansion.
Yes.
Why would they hating to begin with? Well, Everybody want more money. Oh,
what do you think it's going to be about? Of course
it's going to be a rotational type of thing where the national championship game is here.
How often can we have it? What's it,
it's going like to Super. It's going to be like the Super Bowl going to Arizona, Miami. Yeah.
I think that's the best way to do it. All the traditional bowl spots, and you just make sure that everybody's in the rotation, everybody's happy about it.
What about the Tostito Bowl?
Tostitos? Where is that one?
What's the one? What's the one here in the Yankee Stadium? The Twinkie Pinstripe, Cracker Jack Bowl. Like, what the hell? Both teams going the same way? How do we know what yard line they are when you punt?
Tune in tomorrow night. You got the Pac-12 championship game presented by Dr. Pepper. Coverage begins 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Break one of the statues in the Hall of Champions or whatever
that is. No, you don't want to do that. Aaron Judge might not re-sign with the Yankees if that happens.
Oh, yeah. Let's go, San Fran.
Anyways, your favorite quarterback in the NFL is?
Action Jackson?
No, it's Kyler Murray. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
So, did you hear what Patrick Peterson had to say about the baby Mandalorian?
And listen, who said it first?
Well, let's everybody else hear what was said. This is Bryant McFadden and Patrick Peterson on All Things Covered podcast on Kyler Murray.
Verbally now, vocally, Kyler Murray is talking about, and I don't like how he's doing that. I think he should keep some things privately, but it tells me he doesn't care about his head coach. And he's putting everything on the head coach, basically saying
Kyler Murray don't care about nobody but Kyler Murray. That's just a matter of fact.
Right, that's the last voice is Patrick Peterson. Now, remember, he said systematically, I think he said,
we were effed.
Right? And so that's the reaction to that. Now, Kyler went to Twitter, called him out for it immediately about how you're supposed to be my mentor, my big bro, me with this.
Twitter beef.
Mm. Your thoughts?
Well, listen, Kyler went there and said, you're supposed to be my big bro. You got my number. Call me.
Yeah.
Well, don't you have his number, too? So you could call him. Like, yo, I ain't. What's up with that, bro? Mm-hmm. You went straight to Twitter and became passive aggressive
as well. He went on a podcast and said it, so he thought, let me go public with it, too.
Yeah, but, you know,
he probably feels a certain way about the way people are attacking his character. But eventually, if enough people attack your character, maybe you should start considering that you're the one that's the problem.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he's throwing his coach under the bus, the same coach that he shares an agent with, knowing that that's hurting somebody in the family, somebody that made sure that he got rid of the number 7 pick so he can take him number 1, made sure that he got his money and backed that up to make sure that he got his money when he wasn't worthy of it and wasn't even – they didn't have to get it for like the next 2 years, and they paid him early. And I'm sure Kingsbury had a lot to do with the fact that he got that. But you throwing him under the bus, so you know it's fair for you to get thrown under the bus too, especially if that's how he truly feel. It ain't no secret that it's nothing new.
The questions about his leadership, that's nothing new.
Right?
You've been pointing to that with just the body language thing. As a former player, you noticed that a couple of years ago, and people, no, you're just hating on him, But it's amazing how the more you watch Kyler Murray, the more you see, oh, yeah, there's definite talent there.
Mm-hmm.
But quarterback's supposed to be a leader.
Elevate everybody.
That part of the game is lacking for him.
Yep.
And that's something that if you're with the Cardinals organization and you just committed all that money to him, that's a serious concern. Coming up, we get into some of Bart's bits. Comments that he made on Get Up, and also some things that LeBron James had to say yesterday. Barton Hahn.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.